Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Podcast.
Sure is. What antiques are we talking about this week?
A very fun one. We are going to talk about swizzle sticks. Ken has a look of unfathomable horror. I'm going to translate this. He looks scared. I think swizzle sticks may have burnt his village.
I'm just really confused.
You don't know what? Okay, do you know what a swizzle stick is?
Yeah, you mix your drink with it.
So what are you confused about? That's it, the end. Podcast over, go home.
I guess my confusion stems from why does anyone give a shit?
Wow, that's like the fucking rudest way we've ever started an episode.
It is not, but yeah.
It's pretty close. Because nobody cares about England, so if it was one of those incidents, then like...
So...
I was like, oh, here's the topic, and you're like, cool, I don't care.
So, Dee, why should I care about swizzle sticks?
Oh my god, hold on, I'm still reeling. Well, let's start with what a swizzle stick is. It is a stick that you use to swizzle. I'm only partially kidding. It's a long, thin stick apparatus that's used to, and I'm not making this up, swizzle, which is a specific stirring motion. So you take the stick with your hands and rub it between your palms in a back and forth motion. So that it makes like a helicopter.
Like you're trying to start a fire.
Perfect, yeah. So that's a specific action that you do with making mixed drinks, which is what swizzle sticks are associated with. And I bet you've never thought of the humble swizzle stick before.
I mean, not for any considerable length of time, no.
Get ready to. So it is most likely, almost certainly, in origin from... All I could find was the Caribbean... Which is like...
The whole thing.
An enormous region. And then someone said Caribbean islands, which really narrowed it down. But like... there's a drink called the Switchel, which I guess eventually transformed into the Swizzle, which was just rum and water and a little sugar. Which sounds awful. No offense to the people in the Caribbean islands, all of them.
So to recap, the ingredients are sugar, water, and sugar water?
Alcoholic sugar water.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That's an important distinction. and you needed to swizzle it to mix it properly. Well, I don't know if you needed to, but they felt that they needed to.
They sure did.
And why this was important is because they had a specific tree called, I am not fucking with you, the swizzle stick tree. I don't think it has another common name. I looked. The scientific name is... Quararibia turbinat.
Sure.
The first reference to swizzle stick being what these are called was in 1759 in what is delightfully called the Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue.
The only dictionary I trust.
Yeah, the only good one. Although swizzle sticks have probably been used to mix drinks since drinks got mixed. What makes it special is that the swizzle stick tree has these branches that are really long and bare and end in these, like, star-shaped tines.
Oh.
Which make it excellent for mixing.
Perfect for whisking.
Perfect for whisking. In 1934, which was kind of when America cottoned on to the swizzle stick, there was a special swizzle stick patented by a guy who hated drinking cocktails full of fruit called the Spear-It. Now this is clever, because it was a swizzle stick with a pointy tip. Although he denied it ever being a swizzle stick, and it was in fact an eating implement in its patent.
Sure.
And it was, in his own words, as a specific example, the difficulty of securing a cherry resting at the bottom of a cocktail glass without resorting to boorish antics, obnoxious to people accustomed to polite and social usages, is so well known as to have become a matter of public comment and jest.
As a man currently struggling with a mixed drink with two cherries at the bottom... I feel for him.
You understand him, huh?
I do.
But so you get it? It's spear it? Yes. It goes in drinks and it's his little spear?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's very funny.
I didn't come up with it.
It's extremely funny.
And that's pretty much it for the history of swizzle sticks because they don't really bear a lot of understanding.
So what makes them collectible?
We're getting there. Swizzle sticks are... There are just so many.
You just said we were done.
No, we're not done. We're never done.
You said that was it.
Our work is never
over.
Those are your exact words. We're going back. We're going back into the mines.
Okay, so we're done with the history, except now we're in the history?
No. We're just... Give that. No, listen, don't expect me to compartmentalize it so cleanly. Swizzle sticks are collectible in short because they're advertisements.
Oh.
The golden age of the Swizzle was roughly the 1950s to 1960s, which is kind of like...
The thing about the 1950s and the 1960s is that they occurred prior to now.
Yeah.
Which makes them history. So we're still talking about Swizzle sticks in history. So I think maybe it was a little premature to say that's it for the history of Swizzle sticks.
Maybe it was. But then again, if you're going to get all Jean-Francois about it, everything in this podcast is about history because it's about antiques.
It's just when you say that's it and then keep talking for another hour, I get really confused.
Well, live with that. I am sorry. I am not going to say that's it ever again.
Thank you.
So, talking about the history of Swizzle sticks.
Now that we can finally begin talking about the history of Swizzle sticks.
Yes, now that we can finally start and end. But we won't, because that's a high crime. Oh, I forgot to mention that Swizzle sticks actually declined in the 1970s to the 80s. And I find this amusing because nobody knows why.
I'm assuming it's because, like, consumable plastics went up. So now that the Swizzle sticks have become those tiny, too thin to drink through straws that you just swish around.
I think, well, that's a good point. It is actually mostly pointed at the rise of wine's popularity.
Oh.
There was a, the judgment of, like, some city in France, which was very famously when someone ranked some French wines against some American wines, and the American wines won in a blind taste.
When you said judgment, I assumed it was that they made all drinks other than wine illegal.
In France, that's very likely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the incident is called, like, the judgment of, like,
wine?
Avignon. And I think that's such a fucking, like, there's so much gravitas to what is basically two people drank wine and they were like, I like this one, and it devastated the French.
It doesn't take much.
It really doesn't. you put up one union and they crumble like an old pair of boots. Sorry. God, wow, we are rough on countries.
Listen.
We're in America, can you blame us?
Yes.
Most people say either that rising the popularity of wine in some of the big cocktail-drinking countries, or Mothers Against Drunk Driving's formation, because it made it pretty uncool to have a fun collectible associated with your bar.
But that hasn't stopped, like, the prevalence of collectible coasters or collectible shot glasses. Did shot glasses and coasters also take a hit?
Well, I didn't research that now, did I? I assume yes, for a time it was very... I read one source that suggested that people were afraid of litigation. Because the Mothers Against Drunk Driving were introducing all of these laws about when you could be given alcohol prior to driving.
Okay.
A lot of things were going down. There was a lot of people who suddenly thought they might be legally held responsible if, for example, a man died in a drunk driving incident and they found a Swizzle stick with, you know, your bar's name on it. Suddenly, are you culpable for what happened? So they kind of, you know, nixed the fun, colorful, tangible evidence that someone had been at your bar. But yeah, so that's a theory. I don't know that it holds any water with a Swizzle stick in it. That's a bad joke, I'm sorry. Swizzle sticks are really, there's a lot of them.
At least four.
You know, I'd say five.
Fuck.
Yeah, I know. they were a really cheap and easy to produce advertisement. And so everyone jumped on it and advertised with Swizzle sticks. And I do mean a hell of a lot. And they got really whimsical. And they come in lots of colors. And they're very readily available. So am I answering your question about why you'd collect them?
I'd put that at a strong maybe.
Make it stronger, buddy. This is an antiques podcast.
Are antiques podcasts just the Hercules of the podcasting field?
Yes, there's so few of us.
The Samsons, just the strongest there is.
There's so much pressure. I don't even know what I'm referring to right now. So Swizzle sticks are mostly plastic, like I mentioned.
Uh-huh.
They're usually emblazoned with a logo of some sort. Some of them can be made out of glass or precious metals. Those tend to just be uppity bastards who shop at Lalique. So, like, cool.
What is Lalique?
You don't know. Oh my god, new episodes incoming. Hey, get ready for our episode on Lalique, because Ken doesn't know about it. Very high-end glass manufacturer. Slash artist. artist turned manufacturer. Actually, also, pretty sure there was, like, a watch company that did, like, a gold swizzle stick. Cartier, that was it. So, you know, it's a cocktail apparatus, so obviously there's going to be your high-end versions. Little weird to have a high-end version of, but hey, whatever.
I am reminded of Tiffany Solo Cups.
Yeah, it's very much like that, isn't it? God, I hate this world.
So,
do you have any questions about swizzle sticks so far?
Beyond the one voice at the beginning of this podcast, no.
Wait, are you still having it?
Keep going. Maybe it'll kick in.
Oh my god. So, why you would collect them? There are tons of them. And with antiques, whenever there's a lot of something, it is naturally more fun to collect. You could look at some themes. Railroads, airlines, hotels, specific animals, mythical figures, pinup girls, holidays, including Halloween. Nautical, Waffle House has its own range. Liquor brands, international representations, etc.
So is it kind of a postcard situation where even if you don't collect swizzle sticks specifically, you may find yourself collecting swizzle sticks related to the thing you do collect?
Exactly.
Haha.
So yeah, if you're really into Planters peanuts, there's a chance that you'll stumble upon a Planters peanut swizzle stick and that'll be a part of your collection.
Cool.
But there are people out there who just want the swizzle sticks.
The fools. The mad fools.
Wow. Okay. All right. Throwing some salt on the game. All right. I did find out about an unusual swizzle stick that I absolutely love called a table knocker, which was a large-ish swizzle stick with a heavy wooden ball at the end. And they gave you these so you could slap your table with them for another drink and also to cheer on live performances.
I need at least five.
And here you are. You're on board with the swizzles. Come swizzle with us.
Swizzle the night away.
You know, I actually started this because I had the same, like, all right, why does anyone collect swizzle sticks? Now I have to find out. And I walked away wanting to collect swizzle sticks.
This is a dangerous podcast.
It really super is. It doesn't help that I already collect, like, 19 things.
I feel like that's a hazard of working in the antiques industry for 15 years.
It sure is. You know, it sure is. Don't get into it. Turn off the podcast. This is poison.
Leave now.
This is the mind killer. As a consequence of being incredibly numerous, they're very cheap. And I do mean very. One of my favorite things about the idea of it, I haven't done this, I hopefully will not, I'll have restraint, is you can buy these huge lots of them and then just sort through. And many of them, especially the older ones, have semi-interesting to very interesting stories.
Sorry, it's just, you brought up buying a lot and then sorting through.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize there are probably some people out there who don't understand why that's an appealing prospect.
Oh.
But I can't relate to those people.
Yeah, I have no idea what to say to them.
Because there is nothing better than getting a big bag of mixed thing and then sorting it into little piles.
Yeah, it's amazing. It feels great. And then even then, after that, you get to research the little piles you made. That rules.
My friend Megan and I in high school once drove all over town for hours trying to find a store that was still selling conversation hearts out of season just so we could sort through them.
Yeah, like, and that's relatable. Because you can see what all the little hearts say and then they were in neatly stacked little colored piles and then you hopefully didn't eat them.
Well, no, because it's awful. It's eating chalk. It's like a step above Necco wafers, but you know. You fool.
Shame about the factory, though.
Anyway, swizzle sticks.
My big sell on swizzle sticks is, like, God, that's so appealing to me. I guess now I'm going to introduce the fact that there is a swizzle stick collectors club. They do have a quarterly newsletter. It is actually free to read, and please, I'm begging you to do it. I went through so many, and like with most things, the passion is infectious, and it's really easy to start caring about it alongside them. It's just as in-depth as any more serious antique. One thing I started noticing while I was pouring through all of these newsletters was that people get really invested in the story behind the place that the swizzle stick represents. Because obviously a lot of them are defunct businesses. There was a 1960s dinner place called Ivanhoe's, for example.
Yes, I now collect Ivanhoe swizzle sticks.
It was a medieval-themed dinner place, much like medieval times.
Yeah, take me to there.
It doesn't exist.
Take me to the ghost of there.
Well, okay, that we could probably figure out. What they sold, and you'll love this, they sold a set of promotional swizzle sticks that were little skulls and the swizzling part was a little femur bone, and they were sold in a little, like, metal coffin. So, yeah, so you're already, all right, yeah, look, Ken, you can't look. Ken looks very happy at this news. He loves it.
I'm so happy.
And that's the fun of swizzle sticks. I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't looked at a skull swizzle stick and said, I want to know more about where that came from.
That is extremely good.
Yeah. Yeah. There was, like, a pub. There's one called, like, Cheshire Cheese Pub, which was a completely unrelated pub that had just taken the name of a 1700s pub called the Cheshire Cheese Pub.
Sure.
And they just decided, like, that's mine now. And the pub wasn't even named Cheshire Cheese Pub. And, like, this is the kind of incredibly high-octane interesting stories you can get with swizzle sticks. But there were like, Disney swizzle sticks. They did a promotional run.
Disney.
For when they opened the racially questionable tiki attraction.
That one.
Yeah.
Do they have Pirates of the Caribbean ones as an ode to the origin of swizzle sticks?
They do.
Excellent.
I don't think it was an ode. I think it was just because they made a lot of swizzle sticks for their new stuff.
Listen, let me dream.
And it crosses over because those swizzle sticks were only distributed on specific airlines. Pan Am, I think, which is now a defunct airline. So if you collect airline stuff, or even specifically Pan Am, you might end up with this Disney swizzle stick.
And all the Disney collectors will be clawing down your door to get at
they
it.
They will punch you in the mouth. They're awful. I said seven.
Shout out to all our Disney collector fans.
I'm sorry. A woman threatened me very badly over a Fantasia Centaur statuette once, and I'm never going to get over it. She was aggressive. It was a very rare piece, and I only wanted it because I liked the pretty horse lady.
You didn't deserve the centaur.
She got it. One thing is that swizzle sticks are getting slightly more expensive. I struck out and was looking for some Halloween ones because I think they're fun. And I'd like to give them to our cocktail-loving friend. But some of them, the really ones that are associated with, like, famous defunct places, or, like you said, the Disney ones, and even, like, some of the horror-themed ones are really, like, you can get upwards of, like, $10 to $30. That doesn't sound like much, but keep in mind this is a piece of disposable drinking plastic.
That's pretty good.
It's a high price. The people in the International Swizzle Stick Collectors Groups actually say that the high end for these, barring, like, obvious luxury pulls like Lalique and Cartier, which almost feel like it's a gimmick, because those can go for the thousands. It's just a name thing. A high end for a swizzle stick is like $70. So this is a ridiculously accessible collectible. Man, I found some that are like just shaped like mermaids, shaped like whole little cartoon fish bones. Like, when I say whimsical, I mean whimsical.
I do love me some whimsy.
Whimsy is great. And that will affect the value. If you are somehow still asking what you can get for these things, and I cannot impress upon you enough, probably not a lot. unless it's a huge lot. What you want to look at is defunct businesses, advertising locations with interesting histories, famous places, Disney, sets in the box that might have been sold as novelties, and desirable motifs, mermaids, incidentally, skulls, pinup girls, and certain animals are all, like, a little more desirable.
The way you said certain animals was such foreboding.
What? No, it wasn't foreboding so much as it was that I don't want to say that and then have someone call me on it, because I can't tell you which animals, because I'm not like that, like, giraffes.
More like uncertain animals.
Oh, not a good joke. Not a good joke.
Wow. Fuck off.
I didn't get it. So it's not good.
Because you're uncertain about which animals.
Oh. It's not a joke at all. Oh, boy.
So swizzle sticks.
So I can't remember what the hell I was saying. Oh, well, like, but so those are some of, like, if you're really gunning to make this a money game, that's what you're going to be looking at. Unfortunately, it's such a wide, or fortunately, depending on how you like it, it's such a wide, huge range of things that you're gonna have to really stick to your research to get the big money.
You're gonna have to swizzle stick to your research?
Hey, no, that's a joke.
No, it's not.
Alright. Stupid. Stupid. And dating them is pretty easy for the most part.
They always swipe right?
I actually wrote that joke down.
We might be friends.
Yeah, maybe. Well, updating them is tricky and simple at the same time. There are a lot of reproductions, unfortunately. You can usually kind of just tell those based on... I'm doing it again where I'm assuming, like, a stock of knowledge that no one else has. There is a quality to older plastics that new plastics do not have, both in color tone and physical texture and weight.
Brittle and heavier?
Yes. And the colors are just, like, less vibrant. Like, finding a fake is actually going to be, like, really hard. Not a lot of people are reproducing them. Most of them, people do make them currently as sort of a novelty. And current ones are still pretty collectible, in as much as any of these are worth about $5 a piece. But dating them can be simple, because depending on what it's advertising, you can just look that up. You know, Wild Bill's Fun Frog Shack. God, I wish that were a real business, now that I've said it. You could just look up when that was around and get a set of dates. Waffle House, that's going to be a little harder. That's the tricky part. I don't think Waffle House currently makes Swizzle sticks, though. I looked. For example, the Tiki Swizzles were specifically in 1963. So that's one Google search away from finding out when that promotion was. And what'll make it even easier for you is the Swizzle Quarterly.
Oh, God.
Please fucking read it. Oh, my God. These people are a delight. And they have imbued me with a love of this collectible. They do a lot of in-depths on individual Swizzles. They have a corner where... This is going to be an ad for this website, basically. They have a collector's corner where people ask for help finding grails and offer trades. They have a convention, SwizzleCon, in Las Vegas every year.
Of course it's in Vegas.
Oh, Vegas is like...
The Swizzle King?
Yeah, it's like a Swizzle the God Emperor. They have the Straight Stick Spotlight, where they give some history and some attention to Swizzle sticks that do not have whimsical motifs. I cannot impress upon you enough how much I love this quarterly. And they have a section, actually, where they kind of pull up historical references to Swizzle sticks, which is the funniest thing of all time, holy shit. A, like, 1940s divorce case that centered on the possession of a Swizzle stick. A probably fake story about, like, a poisoned Swizzle from, like, the 1910s. Like, it's incredible, and you owe it to yourself to read all these.
Amazing.
And, like, I don't know, maybe donate to the Swizzle Stick Foundation, because, like, they rule. And that's pretty much it. It's short, sweet, and I love it.
Now, when you say that's it...
It's really it.
For real?
Unless you have questions.
For actual?
Yes.
For true?
For serious.
Okay.
Unless you have questions.
No questions.
Great.
Swizzles are very good. I'm glad you told me about them.
They're
Thank you.
So fun. I've overlooked them my whole life.
Do they come in swords?
Yes.
Excellent.
Oh, so many.
I am now forming a Swizzle armory.
I have some eBay searches that I have saved now for
Swizzle halberds, Swizzle battle axes, Swizzle lances.
The Halloween ones are so fun.
I bet.
So fun. Little spinal column. God, I love it.
Aww.
Just a little ghost. They're so charming. We're not done yet. There is one point of contention that I kept running into, which is whether or not to use them. Would you use it?
Every time.
Listen,
it's never it.
I have a very scattershot brain.
That's it. Is never it. I would be concerned about whatever is in the old plastic leaching into my drink.
That's a very specific answer that I don't think anyone else brought up.
I mean, yeah, sure, the integrity of antiques, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah.
No, the two camps are basically divided on, no, someone had that in their mouth, that's gross. And yes, it makes the drinks more fun.
I'm pretty sure after like 60 years, the germs are dead.
Yeah, I kind of figured some hot water would take care of it. I actually hadn't even considered your argument that plastics break down in ways we didn't anticipate.
Despite our many, many Danger Antiques episode, it didn't occur to you that this edible antique might be dangerous.
I don't think we've ever paused and considered the, like, unpredicted breakdown of plastics.
We did in our Bakelite episode.
That's a different kind of... Yeah, well, that's technically true, and technically is the worst kind of true to be.
And also in our My Little Pony episode.
That's vinyl. It's a different fucking material.
Oh my God, they're all petroleum-based. It doesn't matter.
Oh my God. I think it's fascinating because when we made plastics, we didn't expect to think about how they degraded.
Which is stupid because the entire reason behind making them was making something that wouldn't degrade in ways we understood.
Incredibly short-sighted. but yeah, so I guess think about that.
Won't you? Thank you.
Please. Please, think of the Swizzles.
God, someone think of the Swizzles.
God, also, it's just fun to say Swizzle.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's almost as much fun as Swanky Swigs.
Ooh, oh, Swizzle in my Swanky Swig?
Yeah!
Hell yeah! That's a good breakfast.
No.
No? I thought Swanky Swigs are for juice.
My understanding was that they were for alcohol.
Oh, I thought they were for juice. Now that I think about it, that's probably a juice glass. Yes.
Do you have any Swizzle sources?
I have some Swizzle sources. A Collector's Weekly article, Swizzle Sticks, which is actually an interview with the current head of the International Swizzle Stick Collector. UndercoverObjects.com, article on vintage Swizzle Sticks. And SwizzleStickCollectors.com, because I had to get in my, like, very obvious on-the-nose website. That is the Swizzle Stick Collector's website. It is fabulous. Please go read their newsletter.
Absolutely.
And consider joining. This rules. I love Swizzles now.
Swizzles is good.
I hope we helped you convert.
If you would like to tell us about your favorite Swizzle stick, you can email us at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. Or you can check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks. And while you're there, you can join our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends.
And please do.
Where we will be now swapping Swizzle picks.
Yeah, talk about how much you love the vintage flair a Swizzle stick gives your cocktails. Talk about how you wouldn't put that in your mouth, you gross bastard. Start a fight on our Facebook group.
Wait, no.
If you did like today's episode, if you've ever liked any episode of this, if you didn't like this episode but do recommend a different one, I would... Oh. we are asking you to leave a review. It can be a good review. It can be a bad review. It could be a review where you don't talk about anything recognizable at all. Uncover some unfathomable secrets of humanity. That's fine. I prefer 5 stars, but you do you. Any review helps, gets the word out, and shares our content with other people who might like it.
Our latest and favorite review is the Antiques Podcast I've Been Waiting For from Mobeam. As a burgeoning vintage/antique seller, this podcast has been an amazing way for me to hear about the trends, concerns, and inside jokes that come along with the industry. And it's just downright fun. Cue McDonald's, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it, jingle.
Aw, oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
Right?
Aw, you heard it from them. Someone actually likes us. I still live for the negative review that said it sounds like two art majors in their apartment. I was like, holy shit, dude, you nailed it.
You found us out. If you would like to purchase some vintage goods, you can check out our Etsy at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks, and we also have some t-shirts and stickers with the podcast logo on them.
Yes, we do.
If you would like to listen to deleted scenes, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. And we also have the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
It is great fun. I love picking them out. You'll love getting them.
Christmas postcards opt in.
Yes. At probably other religious holidays. I do want to, like, have an opt-in for Easter. So I've racked up a couple of those.
They are bonkers.
They're really weird. I don't know why that holiday of all others just gets, like, full bizarro.
I think it's the rabbits laying eggs that gets to people.
I thought it was Jesus.
Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and getting us ever closer to releasing bonus episodes.
And just making us ascend with love.
And thank you, in particular, for listening.
Especially you.
Goodbye.
Bye.